Mike Audio. I'm Philip Tarone, associate editor of Make Magazine, and for the next 20 minutes or so, I'm going to be talking to Jim and Jordan from roadcasting.org. And what's roadcasting? Well, imagine riding on the highway in your car and being able to tune into everybody else's libraries on their cars. And they're broadcasting, you're sharing your playlists, you're streaming things to each other, and you can also talk to each other. So it's kind of like a interactive two-way mobile pirate radio station. Not exactly an accurate term, but these guys will elaborate all that and more. And here we go.
Hi, this is Jordan Kanarak. I was the design lead for Roadcasting at roadcasting.org.
And I'm Jim Gerritsen. I was the technical lead for the Roadcasting project and did development of the prototype.
All right. So for the folks who aren't familiar with roadcasting, you know, of course, it sounds like there's something to do with roads and something to do with casting. So can you describe what it does and maybe the simple elevator pitch way?
Sure. Roadcasting is a mobile collaborative radio system, and it's cool because it matches listeners with radio stations they enjoy and lets them influence these stations by using collaborative filtering. So basically, you have this effect where when you tune into someone's station, the station starts to adjust itself to you, and as other people join, it does to them too, and it creates a community effect that's sort of new to this idea of mobile music.
And it should be pointed out that the roadcasting system is interesting and different because it doesn't change what you want, what you're listening to, without your consent. As you move around between stations and different other broadcasters, it adjusts what the other stations are playing to better serve your needs. And so in this way, a station reflects the audience that's listening to it as well as the broadcaster himself.
Hmm. So tell me the user experience. I'm getting in my car and I'm turning on is a different type of device or new device or whatever it is. And tell me about the experience from, say, driving from home to the office. How is it different with roadcasting?
So the user experience is sort of at the core of the project. We started out with a lot of upfront focus groups and really doing user testing along the whole way. We decided so that the idea, at least in concept, is that you plug in your MP3 player directly into another device. That device sort of queries your MP3 collection and can help construct a playlist based on something called a flavor that you set for it. While you're driving your car, the idea is for it to sort of fade into the background. Unless you set up a playlist ahead of time, it's going to make decisions based on what it thinks you want the most. And we actually got to a point, turns out, that's pretty good, where it can figure out what you generally want and can figure out what people listening to it generally want all on its own.
So the way it works for a person getting into their car, say, in the morning, is you turn the system on, and it looks through your music, and it creates a station for you by itself. And so the station starts playing back music that you have that it thinks that you would like to hear. And this is happening not only for you, but for every other person who also has the system running. So every person running the system is broadcasting a station. Now, this is happening without them doing anything. You know, they're focusing on having coffee or possibly driving. And the system is just creating these stations. Now, you have the option of controlling and customizing what's being played on your station if you want. And we have a pretty simple interface to do that. You can also listen to other people's stations just by tuning a dial the way you would XM or FM or anything like that. And as you move between those stations, the system automatically begins to interact with the station you're tuned to in order to change it to better reflect what you'd like to hear.
And so you enlisted 7 commuters to be part of this project. Is that how you got a lot of your information and how they would use things and how they would actually interact with this?
Well, we had several different stages of user testing and participatory design. I think our total number was somewhere near 30 people that we used to help design the product, and really at all stages, really from the first month to the last month, we were bringing in people to try out what we had designed and got a lot of great feedback. And it's really a product of a lot of these user-centered design techniques.
Right. So, this project was commissioned by the Carnegie Mellon Human-Computer Interaction Institute, where we were students. So user-centered design, receiving feedback, and iterative prototyping were big parts of this. So we can not only tell you that we think this is a system that people would like to use, we have 30 or so people telling us that it is something they would like.
And what didn't they like about the way that they're using radio or the format of radio now? What were some of the things that they wanted to see change that influence your designs and interactions?
Well, one of the major things was that people found FM in particular to be difficult to listen to because of DJs who they didn't agree with or couldn't relate to. So one of the ways that we've tried to solve that is by allowing people to hit the talk button and actually speak directly to their listeners. And there are other mechanisms of getting feedback and things like that. But one of the big things people said they didn't like about current radio is that they had no influence and they couldn't interact with anybody. And that's kind of dangerous to say because, I mean, clearly if you're on the road, you don't want to be having any complex interactions. But the attempt here is to make it a more interactive system without requiring a whole lot more mental work.
Mm-hmm. You know, and some other concerns were, you know, they picked up on the problems that plague a lot of commercial radio that everyone notices, like all the promos that there's a lot of people complaining about promises that songs will be on in the future and then they never play the songs, contests that they don't want to participate in, things like that. Everyone we talked to had noticed these things and wanted an alternative to them. One of the alternatives for a lot of people is college radio or public radio. The problem with that, then, is that you never know what's going to be on. It's not consistent. So there might be a great show on Mondays at 9 a.m. that's not on at Tuesdays at 9 a.m. This is sort of trying to address that in a lot of ways.
And it's kind of interesting. Jordan brings that up. That's actually a similar problem that podcasting itself solves to a large extent, allowing people to time shift content and to play things that they would like to hear. This system is not directly associated with podcasting, but the kind of reputation you end up with based on the music you play certainly would help. It can filter and distill a lot of content flying around in the air, and in the end it gives people what they want to hear, which is similar to podcasting in that respect.
Right, that's a good point. That roadcasting is not podcasting, just to clear it up for some people who might be listening.
Yeah.
Although it potentially could enhance the podcasting experience because it could match podcasters with people who might be interested in listening to them, as opposed to people now going through the web and finding podcasts through blogs. This could be a more automated system to do that.
So paint a picture of the future for me. What is roadcasting? What could it become? Let's say if auto manufacturers decided to build some systems into their cars or all sorts of things could happen where this
was
enabled.
Well, the grand vision is pretty grand. But the service design is that anybody who has a car with a system that supports roadcasting, in a similar way, I guess you could say it's an add-on like OnStar or like XM or Sirius, anything like that. If there are enough people playing or using the system, there's a huge amount of content in the air, and it's being automatically filtered and categorized. So you end up with a better radio, which is changing what it plays in response to your desires and also in response to what other people are listening to. So you become informed what the changing trends are in music, you know, the news of the day, because that's what other people want to play. And in that respect, you're not really a slave to any outside interest telling you what it is you'd like to hear. You're getting it from other people.
Mm-hmm. And tell me about the technologies that are involved. I saw that you use processing and the Java Media Framework. What's the nuts and bolts behind actually doing this, or what's the future of the nuts and bolts of actually having this in cars?
We have the prototype, and then we have the theoretical or final implementation. I'll talk about the prototype, and I guess Jordan will take the final implementation. The prototype right now was really just a proof of concept. It was created to test with these 30 people. And the way we did it is we had groups of people come in, they would sit down, they would bring music in, or they would provide us with artists that they wanted to, that they liked, and we would find the music for them. And we would start up the system, and they would go off and do something else. We had a driving simulator. We also, in one case, just had people run it on their desktop while they surfed the web, and we just collected data on how they used it. For that sort of thing, the prototype worked well. It actually, prototype only works on a local subnet. It's using IP multicast and Java Media Framework, RTSP. It uses processing for part of the GUI, the main part of the GUI, the part that's on the site, and it uses a couple other things. It uses Xerxes XML parser from Apache, a few other things like that. What it's really doing, the prototype, is creating a music stream that can be subscribed to by any other player on a local subnet. And when you switch between channels, what you're really doing is muting and unmuting all of the other streams that you found. Mm-hmm. And when you connect to other systems, to other stations, it sends a short document listing what your preferences are, and they're then filtered against what the other listeners are and what the broadcasters is, and the playlist will change accordingly. So the prototype's kind of limited. It certainly doesn't have the range that we would hope the final implementation would have, but you know, it was good enough to prove that this was a desirable service.
And then in the future, you can imagine that other wireless technologies could be used, and those really run the gamut. Seems like, you know, we're hearing about a new one every day. We can't predict the future in terms of exactly what standards are going to emerge and things like that. But already we're starting to see personal electronic devices with built-in wireless in them, like the PSP or the Nintendo Dual Screen. So, you know, on a broader scale. It doesn't just have to be limited to cars. It doesn't just have to be limited to Wi-Fi. It's really sort of one of the reasons we're excited about opening up the code is because we want it to be adapted to whatever technologies do emerge.
Yeah, and should also point out one of the key limiting factors, and pretty much the limiting factor right now for actual implementation of this, is the lack of a long-range wireless protocol or wireless technology. And on our site, we're kind of hedging our bets. We were saying WiMAX seemed like a good bet. It's not actually, that's not really what WiMAX is for. But theoretically, you know, and you never can actually get the theoretical maximum, they're looking for 30-mile radius. You know, if you can have a 30-mile radius around your car, even if you're on the highway, there's someone else coming at you at 65 miles an hour and you're going 65 miles an hour, you're still going to have a good amount of time to listen to that station before it passes away.
Yeah.
Additionally, we don't talk about it on the site, but something to think about in the coming years might be repeating and things like that. So your theoretical range could be increased quite a bit if someone 20 miles away from you is repeating your signal to someone 30 miles away from them.
Right.
And if a larger company, you know, some company wanted to do this commercially, they'd be losing a lot of the peer-to-peer nature, but some sort of overarching network would clearly allow people much more range than they would get otherwise by themselves.
Oh, gotcha. So a company who has high-speed wireless, like a T-Mobile or a Singular or whoever who has high-speed access they could have a new service for automobiles where you plug a card in and now you're sharing your library out via their network to other cars.
To some extent, yeah. I mean, something like that could work. There's kind of a danger in that. Because then it just becomes another commercially administered service. Mm-hmm. And something like that, I mean, there are also a huge number. There are a lot of legal implications. But making money off of a service whereby people share their own copyrighted purchased music might not work out so well. That's certainly one way to go, theoretically. But I think our hope is that we can keep this decentralized. And that would probably work better for everybody.
So it's in some ways it's kind of like it's a pirate radio system that's not destructive. Like you're basically broadcasting your pirate signal, but it's because others are doing the same and you're all agreeing. Like let's look at each other's libraries and let's share and we've got nothing else to do besides sit in traffic. So you know why not? Is it more along those lines?
Yeah, it might not be totally correct to call it pirate in the sense that if you think about iTunes sharing, sharing your iTunes playlist isn't really considered pirating. You're sharing with people on your local network. So that's kind of the way that we've looked at it. And in terms of legality, we really see that this doesn't necessarily have to be illegal. This could be totally legal content, and it very well might be.
Yeah.
There's a sort of very much a legitimate use for this in terms of copyrighted material or non-copyrighted or Creative Commons material.
Yeah, and it seems like, you know, the Yahoo Music engine that just debuted, anyone on your instant message list, you can stream your music that you've purchased to them. You know, that's just a, you know, a one-to-one sharing situation where they can just tune in. You know, you could do similar things with iTunes. Have you seen the bumper stickers that say iPod Radio, and the, you know, they'll have what FM signal they're broadcasting on? Did that influence some of your ideas, where people are kind of doing this, but it's really one-off, and the odds of finding someone like that are pretty rare each day? Did that influence you at all?
Well, I've certainly seen one or two of them around. I'm not sure that it's the similar spirit. It's the same sort of idea.
Yeah.
And actually, broadcasting, low-power iPod FM signal is similar to this, and has the similar limitations. You can only really listen to what the other person is playing. You know, you can't go digging through their music,
yeah,
pull out files you'd like, or anything like that. It's like pirate radio, in the sense that you can listen in to what someone else is broadcasting, but it's not pirate radio in the sense that you have pirate networks with P2P files,
right,
nothing like that.
And people can talk to each other using a talk button, and they can exchange information and all those other things too.
Sure.
So if someone wants to build one of these things or get involved, you had mentioned that there's going to be source code and files that people could download and actually do things with?
Yeah, there is a the prototype that we used for the development and proof of the system is up on site, broadcasting.org. It works best with XP at the moment, and it's a little bit shaky, but all the ideas are there, and we are actually thinking about continuing development for a platform to which it's better suited.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not really sure of the specifics right now, so we don't want to make any promises. We have some ideas, and we think that there are a good number of consumer electronics devices coming out right around now that will be excellent targets for a larger test of the broadcasting system.
Mm-hmm.
So if people are interested, by all means, send us a mail, download the source, take a look, let us know what you think.
The email address for people who are interested in getting involved is getinvolved@roadcasting.org, and then we'll sort of take it from there, I guess, really matching together people. There's been a substantial interest on the web so far, and it's going to be a matter of just matching the people who are interested with the people who are interested. So we're looking forward to hearing from people.
Great. And would you say that the auto manufacturers out there, or anyone from that industry, have they been curious and poking around and see what you guys are up to?
Well, we say on the site that this was originally commissioned as part of a project at Carnegie Mellon, and there was a major auto manufacturer involved. But as of yet, we haven't had anything more than the general interest.
Mm-hmm.
This is really kind of an out there idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really to the point at the moment where it's easy to see the monetary value. But there are an awful lot of things where it's not apparent up front, you know, where the value lies exactly.
Yeah.
So no, at the moment we're not bound by any constraints like that. No.
Oh, great. All right. Well, guys, thank you so much. This is definitely interesting. A lot of people have been, you know, asking what roadcasting is, and, you know, I was certainly interested in it. And, you know, out here in Seattle where I am, you see the stickers once in a while, and it's such a neat idea for people to be broadcasting their own content and, you know, for what you guys did and taking it to the next level and the interactions and being able to share all that information is it's one of the things I always like to think about is the best way to predict what's going to happen is actually to go and build little pieces, and it sounds like you certainly did.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a great, great interview, and nice talking to you.
Thank you very much.
All right, guys.
For the show notes, for more information about Make Magazine, and to subscribe to Make Magazine, visit makezine.com.